This is the legendary adult film star, Seika. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you?
We're doing great. We appreciate you coming on with us.
Oh, I appreciate you having me.
Now, I got to tell you, your name has been coming up with regularity between myself and one of the guys that's on the show, the afternoon show that precedes me. And after a while, we kept referencing your name so much, I told our producer, Mike Turley, I said, well, we just have to get her on. And one of the reasons that your name was coming out, it's sort of like, a Ron Jeremy or a John Holmes. It's one of these names that it seems like everybody knows, whether they're really an adult film fan or maybe they've barely even ever seen one. They just know the name, and that's obviously a pretty elite company to be in. Seika, when did you first realize that you were in that select company of people who would be familiar with you, even if they weren't intimately familiar with your work?
Oh, Lord, I don't know. That's a tough one.
I mean, was it early on in your career? Has it just been because I've asked Ron Jeremy the same question. He said, you know, in the 70s, when he got started, he said it was a little more underground, that sort of thing. But he said as it became more mainstream, he was running into people that he just couldn't believe had any idea who he was.
Well, that's true. I didn't really realize it until like mid to late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I live in Chicago, so I was walking down the street. And in the wintertime, I had on a full-length fur coat, a fur hat.
Uh-huh.
Nothing was showing but my nose. And someone walked up to me and said, oh, my God, you're her. I said, her who? And they said, you're a Seika. And I'm like, excuse me? I mean, literally, nothing was showing but my nose.
And here's a guy who probably all those years he was watching your films was just sitting in front of his TV or in the theater just saying, look at that nose.
Evidently.
Can you believe that nose? Now, you, Seika, you have an interesting story in how you got started in the business because you started managing an adult video store and decided to get into the business from there, and everything that I've ever read about you said that you had a real uncommon business sense that really served you well getting into this industry. How much of an advantage was that, and did that continue to be when you actually got into a business that, you know, has been known, unfortunately, for some pretty tragic stories along the way?
Well, yeah, I guess it has been. I fortunately have not had a tragic life or a tragic story to tell about the business. I've always been very positive things happen, but I'm a pretty strong-minded person. But, you know, I owned 7 adult bookstores at one time, so, you know, I mean, I'd see the films, and I was like, you know what? These women don't look so good in these films. This is in the 80s, I mean, in the 70s. And
yeah.
I said, you know what? I think I can do that and do it a little bit better and make women look better and be portrayed a lot better, and I think I did.
This is a legendary film, adult film star, Seika, joining us on the P1 Wild Ass Circus on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. And Seika, as evidence of your business sense, for those who visit your website, officialseika.com, if they go to the shopping section, they will find that, for example, we're getting to have this conversation for free, but anybody else can talk to you for 10 minutes for $75. And this goes all the way up to a 20-minute phone call for $150 and then 30-minute phone call for $225. So my question is, out of some of these phone calls you fielded, I'm thinking that if you get somebody who's not particularly verbose that's going for the 30-minute package, that can be a little hard to muster conversation.
Not really.
No?
No. There's all kinds of things you can talk about.
So if I'm a little shy and I sign up for that, you'll do as much of the talking as you need to.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely. I mean, phone fun is pretty exciting.
Phone fun. Yeah. All right. Now, the other thing you can get at officialseika.com, and this might be the item that I'm geared more toward just because I actually need a new set of these anyway, is a set.
Oh, let me guess. What do you need a new setup?
Well, there's actually several options on here. But I actually need a new set of sheets, and I see that I can get a used set of yours for $150.
Yes, you can.
Now, do the kind of sheets vary, or are they always? I'm thinking like thread count, and also we have pets, so we have silk sheets. Is that an option, or what kind of sheets can I get?
Well, it depends on what I've had on the bed.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
All right, now that I guess that brings me to my next question. How used will they be?
I change my sheets every 4 days.
Okay, so I get 4 days worth of Seika sheets. I'm not kidding. I might buy these. Do they fit a queen-size bed?
Well, I have some queen-size. Depends on where I sleep.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess because, you know, if you got more than one person buying the sheets, you got to kind of move around from bed to bed.
Not really. I mean, I have queen size and I've got king size, basically.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But I don't think they really buy them to make sure that they fit their bed.
Exactly. I'm going to need the queen size. That's going to make a great birthday gift for my girlfriend, I think. I'm gonna order a set of those.
Well, now, you know what? For you, I'll give them to you for nothing.
Really?
Just because you're a nice guy.
What a deal that is. Okay. That is so awesome of you, Seika. Thank you. And I'm going to make sure our producer gives you my mailing address here before we let you off. How great will that be? I can't wait to tell all our listeners about my Seika sheets when they arrive.
Absolutely. I'll put a big kiss print right in the middle of the fitted sheet on the bottom.
Like a bullseye. That would be great.
It'll mark the spot.
All right. Now, I have a friend. This is adult film star Seika joining us on the P1 Wild Ass Circus. I have a friend named, lived here for many years here in Dallas, named Josh Allen. Sometimes he goes by Josh Allen Friedman. He's a musician, but he also wrote a book called Tales from Times Square. And I don't know if you're familiar with this book or not, but I read
not
it.
Not really familiar, yeah.
You know it. Okay, I read it, I believe for the first time I read it in the late 80s. And your name was in there because, speaking of being enterprising, you had come up with a very unique way to make money. Now, keeping in mind that in this post-FCC witch hunt world that we're all living in, we're really going to have to embrace the euphemism here.
Yes.
But basically, you set up a concession where the average guy could come in, and for the fee, was it a dollar or I don't remember? Something like that. They could...
have lunch?
Yeah, they could sort of like...
I did not do. That was that particular place where I was dancing at the time.
Oh, okay.
And that's what they did. They served what they called box lunch.
Oh, okay. Right. Like you would get box lunches catered in at your office, that sort of thing.
Absolutely. That is not something that I did. I did not do that.
Oh, okay. But I guess that's sort of like the modern-day equivalent of how you get the Polaroid picture made with your favorite adult film star now.
Pretty much, sort of thing.
Now, how much was that like? What was the going price back then? Do you remember?
For Polaroids? I didn't do the lunch thing.
Oh, that wasn't you?
No, that was not me. I worked at the place where that was their gimmick, if you will, to get people in.
Okay, I'm sorry. Well, I misunderstood that chapter of the book. But let me ask you about another...
Somebody may have said that I did that, but I didn't.
Okay, all right. Let me ask you about another thing that I have read about you, and hopefully you can verify this, that your debut scene was with none other than John Holmes. Is that right?
Yes, it was, and that was in Dracula Sucks.
Right, which you would think would be a horror movie.
Now Holmes Busted First Bite.
Okay, all right. So you do your very first scene with John Holmes. I mean, were you thinking to yourself, I mean, are they all like this?
Well, no, I had seen some before, and I knew they weren't all like that.
Good thing. Good thing.
I was like, oh, my goodness, what must we do?
Now, Seika, there seems to be a fascination, at least in recent years, with the whole, you know, 70s golden era of adult films, and you've seen it either through fictitious portrayals like in Boogie Nights with Mark Wahlberg or Wonderland, which, of course, been there in person.
Well, I haven't seen Wonderland, but I did see Boogie Nights.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it was an accurate portrayal of what was happening at that time. I mean, first and foremost, I cannot believe that they actually thought we were that ugly and dressed that poorly.
Uh-huh, and you didn't ride around on roller skates all the time?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, not at all.
No.
I just think it was a very accurate portrayal of the business. I mean, it was a very select group of people, because the business was much smaller then, and it was, if you will, more underground. So we were, you know, we were like the cowboys of the time.
Yeah.
They were like, not really the cowboys, but the outlaws of the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you could actually, they would come in and they would bust you on set. I mean, I never had that happen to me, but They would raid sets where we were making movies. They would arrest the actors and everybody else because it was considered illegal at the time.
Yeah, and of course, VCRs, I guess, were really just sort of starting to appear on the scene.
Absolutely.
So you also had people where they actually went to theaters to see this sort of thing.
Well, exactly, because, I mean, we had movie premieres. And, you know, there were 8mm loops, which you had in the adult bookstores and things like that. But I was actually the transition girl between film and video. That's what made it really made me very popular was I was like the girl that brought everybody over to video.
Now, another thing that I learned about you, Seika, is that living in Chicago there, you are a big baseball fan.
Oh, absolutely, and we lost today.
Now, I understand you follow both the White Sox and the Cubs.
The Cubs.
Oh, okay, you're more of a Cubbies fan, because you do kind of have to...
I love the Sox. I mean, they're mm-hmm. good, but, I mean, I'm a North Sider. I like the Cubs.
Yeah, you got to declare one allegiance to another, don't you?
I think so. And I've always been a Cubs fan. Even when I was a kid, my dad was a Cubs fan.
Now,
I was familiar with him before I ever moved to Chicago.
One of the things I always enjoy about Wrigley Field and my visits to Chicago is that they still play an extraordinary percentage of day games for the people that work third shifts and stuff like that. Do you like the day baseball more, or are you more out there at night?
Absolutely. No, day baseball. I don't like the idea of having lights in a baseball stadium.
All right, now that brings me to my next question.
It just made me crazy when they put lights at Wrigley Field.
Yeah, okay, and see, me too. I'm kind of a purist, and that brings me to my next question because here locally, where we are, of course, the Texas Rangers that are off to such a surprising start without Alex Rodriguez have just sold the naming rights to their ballpark. It's no longer the ballpark in Arlington. It's Ameriquest Field, and Wrigley Field has always been very, very resistant toward that type of change. Is that still the climate up there, or does it seem like the ownership is always trying to push little ideas?
No, it seems like they're pretty much staying close to home with that because, I mean, Wrigley Field is an institution, just like Boston, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You don't mess with tradition. And it's really, I mean, nobody here really calls it Cellular One Field, where the Sox play. We still call it Comiskey Park.
This is adult film star Seika joining us on the P1 Wild Ass Circus on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. You can see and read more about her at her official website. It is officialseika.com. Seika, before we let you go here, I was looking at your extremely lengthy body of work, and I highlighted a couple of titles. I want to... mention these to you and see if you remember anything particular about filming them.
Okay.
What about Blacks and Blondes 54?
Well, I'll tell you. I never did that title.
Oh, let me mark that off the list.
No. This is what happened sometimes.
Oh.
I didn't do as many films as most people think.
Yeah.
In my career span.
Mm-hmm.
What happens sometimes is because I don't own them outright. If they take parts of one movie and parts of another movie and put them together and put a new title on it. Because then they have more longevity for both films.
Oh, okay, I understand.
And it's all of a sudden, wow, well, there's a new Seika title.
Mm-hmm.
So and in fact, it is. It's just old footage put together with other footage.
All right, now what about in 1980, Love Story? Most people probably associate that with Ally McGraw and Ryan O'Neal, I would think. But
I have no clue. That was another one they did that with.
Might be the same kind of thing. How about Splatterhouse 3? Now, you might think that's a horror movie, but I don't want to take that for granted in your case.
It might be. I don't... That's the same thing. I didn't... Unless they renamed the movie like they renamed Dracula Sucks.
Right.
To Love at First Sight. Then, you know, it could be that they've renamed it to that.
All right, for the Gen Xer who's listening to my show right now that has not seen your work, is there one film that they need to go out and find to get them started?
I would say there's two.
All right, I'm ready.
Careful, He May Be Watching.
Okay.
And American Garter.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you know what?
American Garter is the last XXX movie that I did.
All right. Well, what someone that is interested in seeing what the bygone era of adult films was really all about can go out and check out either one of those titles and find out more about it.
They can come to my website at officialthinker.com and purchase them from me.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. You get them there, and then maybe you order a set of sheets while you're at it too.
Yeah, and if they put a notation in there that they heard it from your show. Also, and an 8x10 autograph picture.
Beautiful. That is beautiful. Well, Seika, it was so such a pleasant experience to meet you. And I'll tell you, I hear that you have a collection of major and minor league baseball hats.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I love baseball and baseball bats and baseball balls.
Okay, well, here's the thing I want to do. Since you offered to send me a set of your sheets, I'm going to trade you that for a Frisco Rough Riders hat. That's our AA affiliate baseball team here. I don't know if you have one of those yet or not.
No, I don't. I'll have to send you an official Seika.com t-shirt.
I would wear that proudly at all of our station photo shoots, much to their chagrin, I'm sure, but I'll wear it nonetheless. I'm going to put you...
You scored major tonight, didn't you? You got a set of sheets.
Yep.
And a t-shirt.
That's right, I did. And you got a Frisco Rough Riders hat.
I love it.
Okay.
I love baseball caps.
I'm gonna put you on hold here. Let's get the info to our producer, Mike Turley, and you and I will become pen pals, okay?
Oh, that's fabulous. I'll tell everybody to go to officialseika.com.
Yes, we look forward to having you on again sometime.
All right.
Thank you, Seika.
Thank you, darling.
All right. How pleasant was she?
Nice lady.
Yeah. Woman's 50. You believe that?
I didn't know that.
It's 50-year-old chicks. Aren't going to be sending you sets of their used sheets.
You don't need the pillowcases or anything, do you?
Ooh, I forgot to ask for that. Oh. All right, let me get on the phone.
Yeah.
Reminder, I need the pillowcases, too.
Well,
my
yeah.
girlfriend's going to be so happy when these arrive in the mail. All right, coming up next on the P1 Wild Ass Circus, a couple here in Texas names their kid after ESPN. How much for the naming rights to your kid? We'll ask Justin Neely that next on the P1 Wild Ass Circus on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.